Innal hamdalillah wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala. Wa ba'd, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the famous ayat which we all know, where he said, wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. Allah said, hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together and do not differ. Now if you look up the synonyms of differ, you find two of them, there are many of them, but two of them which describe what we do when we talk about differing. One is conflict with, is a synonym of differ. And another one is clash with, which is also a synonym of differ. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, when he said this ayat, وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, do not have a difference of opinion with anyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not conflict with each other, do not clash with each other. Now, I think this is very important for us to keep in mind and remember, because this intersect, for the want of a better word, conflicts that we are plagued with as Muslims. This is a cancer in our community. This is what is literally destroying us and killing us as we stand on our feet. And I think this is something which is very, very important for us to get over and to leave. I have done two or three Fajr reminders on Adabul Ikhtilaf, and really there should be no need for repeating this, but every few days new things come up which simply force me to say the same thing over and over again. Now, so therefore, please forgive me for that, but I think it's very important for us to understand. So the issue is not that we have a difference of opinion, a different way of thinking, a different perspective on something. That is natural and human. If there are two people, it's more than likely that they are going to be thinking differently about something. What is the issue is, what do we do with that difference of opinion? Do we allow this difference of opinion to be used positively as another lens? So instead of having one camera looking at something, you have multiple cameras, which is a filming technique, incidentally, which brings about far superior videos and far superior pictures, to have multiple cameras focusing on the same thing, because they take it from different angles, and when they merge the images, they get this absolutely fantastically clear image. Or we can use this as a way of abusing and denigrating and putting down other people, which is absolutely despicable, but this is what we seem to do. So now what must we do? Very important to understand, little bit of a history lesson. This is nothing new, this kind of conflicting in the name of differing, clashing in the name of differing, was what the Europeans did for centuries upon centuries. The last of them being the Second World War. All of these were openly or hidden religious conflicts between different sects of Christianity. Right? They were not against others. They were different sects of Christianity. Now, despite that, what happened was that after the Second World War, they came to this conclusion that this is getting us nowhere. It's just killing us, destroying our power. And what is really required is for us to work together. Now, this is what took Europeans centuries to come to that conclusion, but we Muslims don't seem to be anywhere close to that, and we continue with what we do, and there's blood on the streets, quite literally speaking, in Muslim lands as well as where Muslims live. Now, what must we do about this? As I said, differences will always be there. So the first and foremost thing to do is to accept that other people will look at whatever you and I look at in a different way. This is their right. This is their nature. This is the nature of humanity as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. If somebody's got a problem, let him go and talk to Allah when he meets him. But as this dunya is, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings, that if you give a thing to two people, they will see it differently. Very simple way to illustrate that. You and I are now sitting facing each other. My left is your right and your left is my right. So who's right and who's wrong? As simple as that. So therefore, we have to be very clear in our minds to say, what is it that we are going to choose to differ on? Number one, when we look at it like this, when we look at or we try to mentally put ourselves into the place of another person and see the world from his or her eyes, that itself is a huge and a very powerful tool to get over the issue of differences. The moment I come and sit next to you, facing in the same direction that you are facing, then immediately my left is your left and my right is your right. So it's very easy to do that, even cognitively and mentally speaking. So that's the first thing to do, is try to see the world from the eyes of the other person, through the spectacles of the other person, through the lens of the other person. And important to remember that until you take off your specs, you cannot put on the other person's specs. So to be willing to see life from the perspective of another person, I need to be able to take off my lens and look at life through their lens, number one. Number two is then agree to disagree. Once I see that life from the through the lens of the other person, if I'm still on my position and I say, yes, fine, I've seen what you are seeing, but I still do not agree. Absolutely no problem. Please understand this. Absolutely no problem. The only one who has the right to make a definitive and total statement of what is right and what is wrong, and then to prescribe reward or punishment for it, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Nobody else. Allah did not put you or me as doorkeepers to either His Jannah or His Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns the Jannah, Allah owns the Jahannam, and Islam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. It is not your and my private affair. So therefore, we have no right to allow people entry into Islam or exit from Islam. All that we can do is to explain the boundaries and say that this is what Allah has made right and halal, and this is what Allah has made wrong and haram. And then it is the will and it is the decision of the other person to do what they want. And they will get the reward for it, or they will get the opposite of it for that. Whatever Allah wishes, it is not in your control or my control. So therefore, our job is merely to state facts as we see them and explain that this is how I view this, this is how I have been taught to view this, these are my evidences, these are my proofs for what I'm saying. So that's the second point. Third point, and therefore we agree to disagree. You are still on your point of view, I am still on my point of view. Now let's go get ourselves a cup of coffee. Let's go and eat some biryani together. Keep the hearts together. Do not allow the heart to break. That is a very, very critical element as far as agreeing to disagree is concerned. Do not allow the hearts to fall apart. Do not allow the hearts to break. Difference of opinion is in the mind, it's not in the heart. So therefore, let the mind deal with that difference of opinion as agreeing to disagree. There's a quote which is ascribed to Disraeli, but also to other people, where he's reported to have said, "I disagree with you, but I will fight to the death for your right to disagree." Right? I disagree with you, but I will fight to the death for your right to differ or your right to disagree. And that's, I think, something very important for us to keep this and to keep in mind, that the other person has a right to a different opinion from mine, whatever be his or her views, whatever be his or her evidence in the matter. They have their evidence and they have as much right to that evidence as we have right to our own evidence. I'm not saying that you have to accept that evidence or believe that evidence. There's no need. You can stay with your belief and they can stay with theirs. Yet we can and should remain friends and on speaking terms and brothers and sisters in Islam, alhamdulillah. So this is the second point. Third point is that if you do feel this great need that you have to, within quotes, correct that other person And I'm saying this very strongly and clearly because there is no need, there's no absolutely no need for you to correct anybody. There's no need for you to convince anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even give this job to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the people, he has not been sent as a jabbar on you. He has not been sent to force you to do this or that. His job, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ, his job is to clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your job is to clearly explain what has been given to you. So, as far as you are concerned, our job is to convey, it is not to convince. So don't even get into this convincing mode, don't even get into this issue of trying to browbeat or in the name of persuasion other people into so-called accepting or believing what we believe. Belief is a matter of the heart, it does not happen by anyone's, cannot be forced by anyone. So that is the issue as far as the method is concerned. Then. So, as I was saying, if you really feel this great need that, oh, no, I have to explain. So, then go and meet that person who you are talking about on a one-to-one personal level, in privacy and in a very nice manner, speak to them and tell them what you need to tell them, or what you think you need to tell them. So, make friends with them, be very polite, well-mannered, and then tell them what you need to tell them. The greatest and most beautiful example of this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did when he first preached Islam. He was talking about telling or talking to people and presenting to them the exact opposite of what they believed in, right? From shirk to tawheed. So what did he do? How did he start with? He started with his family, and how did he do that? He invited them to a meal. Right? He invited them to dinner. He fed them and then he explained to them, this is what I have come to tell you. Now they got offended, they walked out, but he invited them first and he tried to make friends with them and he did their ikram, he fed them, he gave them a lovely meal, and then only he explained to them. So this is the method. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stand on the minbar and start cursing them or cursing their gods or whoever they believed in? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say you will fry in the hellfire? Did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say you will fry in the hellfire? He didn't say any of that. He was polite with them and he brought them home and he did their ikram. So this is something that we need to do. If you really believe that you have to convince somebody, as I told you, first of all, you don't have to convince anybody. Your job is to explain and that's it, end of the story. But if you really have this great need, so before you grow out of that need, go and invite the person. Invite the person home or some other place make their ikram. Be nice to them, be hospitable to them, and then you explain to them what you want to say. And then leave it. Don't argue, don't try to debate, and don't try to browbeat them into something. Just say it nicely and leave it. Do not ever, ever, ever use a public platform to criticize people in a public manner, because that's always creates problems. If you stand up and in public, by public I don't necessarily mean a big gathering or something, I mean even in front of a couple of people, if you tell somebody something, the person gets so offended and hurt that their entire focus now is the hurt and the offense. They are no longer even thinking about the good the goodness of you trying to help them. They're not anywhere there. They're just too offended and too hurt to listen to anything sensible. So therefore, never do that in public. Always praise in public, criticize in private. This applies to everything, even to regular feedback. Positive feedback in public and negative or critical feedback in private. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to follow the seerah and sunnah as far as being critical of people is concerned. Inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, if Allah gives the tawfiq and the ability, we will and take this further and try to help us help each other understand. And finally, very, very important, if you have not done any of this and if you have approached people in a different way and you find that now people are offended and so on, believe me, the cheapest, the simplest, the best way is simply to go and say sorry. Just go and apologize. Just go and be nice to them. Just go and apologize and say, look, I'm very sorry. It was not my intention to hurt you, but inadvertently I seem to have done that. Please accept my apologies. This is, alhamdulillah, a way of getting to Jannah for yourself. This is a way of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. So go and do that. Don't stick with what you have done. because it only makes matters worse. I've never yet seen a situation where the other party will back off. They will not. The more you resist and the more you stick to your ground and find justification, the more the others will find the need to keep on beating you up and so on. There's no sense in that. If you did something, you made a mistake, you are human, alhamdulillah. All humans make mistakes. So therefore, make amends. Say sorry, make amends, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and seek protection from harm. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all forms of conflict and to enable us to do that which always, always, always brings heart together. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.